What we want to talk about this morning, we're continuing our series in Nehemiah 8, and it lends itself wonderfully to this idea of dedication. I just want to thank Hannah Miles for doing all the legwork on this. We had a few changes, but she's really helped inform the sermon this morning. But often when we come to a dedication service, we have this great moment of celebration, but we want to remind ourselves of the poignancy of it and our responsibility as a church community. And so as we gather for a holy celebration, I've titled this Holy Moments. And so there are many holy moments throughout our lives. And as we come to Nehemiah 8, the community have gathered in around about 2,500 years ago for a particular holy moment. And if you know nothing about the book of Nehemiah, we've got a short video just to catch you up. So if you turn your attention to the screens, and that will lay the backdrop for this morning.
The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah finds out through a messenger that his homeland is in ruins.
Huh?
Hundreds of years earlier, the Babylonians destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the temple and walls that protected the city and dragged the people away into captivity. Years went by with the Babylonians in charge until a powerful king in Persia named Cyrus attacked and defeated the Babylonians. As a result, Cyrus allowed the people of Israel to go back and rebuild their temple. Unfortunately, the Israelites once again turned their back and sinned against God. Meanwhile, King Cyrus dies and a new king is put into power. This new king boldly proclaims that there will never be a wall built around the city of Jerusalem again. It appears the Israelites have missed their window of opportunity. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to this king, cupbearer meaning prime minister, bodyguard, and second in command. Nehemiah hears of his people's plight and his heart breaks. So he takes a risk and asks the king if he can go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The hand of God was upon Nehemiah, so the king granted his request. And after 5 months, Nehemiah travels to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. When he gets there, he surveys the situation for 3 days and then makes a speech to the people of Jerusalem.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate dedications. We thank you for your word. And as we read Nehemiah 8, Lord, would you speak to us as a church community about what it means for us to be dedicated, but also dedicated to our wonderful children to raise them in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. We're going to read from Nehemiah 8, and I've just got three quick lessons to remind us as a church community about our commitment to dedication. And this is what it says. After they'd built the walls, after they'd had some challenges, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate, an area within the walls. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which we think was probably Deuteronomy based on a lot of what they read, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the 7th month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all those who were able to understand. And he read aloud from it, daybreak till noon. If you think my sermons are long, daybreak. I mean, what's that at the moment? That's like 5:30 in the morning. In summertime, till noon, 12 o'clock, my goodness. They read from it from daybreak till noon as they faced before the water gate in the presence of the men and women of us who could understand. And all the people listened attentively, just like you're doing this morning, right? They listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for this occasion. And then there's a load of people that stood beside him, helping him disseminate the law to the people. Ezra opened the book, verse 5. All the people could see him. Do you know why? Because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. They praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded with, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So there's a really powerful worship session. Then the Levites, and there's a list of names which you can read in your own time, again, helping Ezra instruct the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor or administrator, some translations say, Ezra the priest, the teachers of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping. And as they listened to the words of the law, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send them to those who have nothing prepared. This is the day of our holy Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's a great commandment, isn't it? Go, have some good food, have some sweet drinks. Who wants to lean into that command from the Bible this morning? All of us are on board with that. And so you've got this wonderful and yet weird situation where they're all gathered, they're all worshipping, some are mourning and weeping. And then Nehemiah, after reading from the law before the people, says, don't grieve. This day is holy. It's worth celebrating before the law. And three quick things to help us in our dedication as a community this morning. The first is the word that they're reading is illuminating. The word that they're reading from is shedding light for them as a community. That as they open those teachings together, it's likely for many generations they had not heard the word. In fact, they were sort of just living in the circumstance with no real guidance. And the word is illuminating. Just like a bright light, just like a light on a car dashboard, for instance. Let's say, you know, you're running low on petrol. Sometimes those warning lights pop on, and if you're not careful, if you run out of petrol, you find yourself in a difficult circumstance, like I did this morning at 9:30 a.m. I dropped Libby off. The warning light was going, "You need petrol." I'd been ignoring it for 2 days, thinking I'd run errands, it's too hot, I'm going to go home. Anyway, this morning it caught up with me. 9:30 a.m. on the way back near Sainsbury's, I break down in a fire-restricted area as well, saying, "Do not block." My car blocks it. And if you ignore the warning lights, if you ignore the illumination of those warnings, what you find yourself is trekking half a mile with a toddler on your back in the blazing sun to Tesco's to fill up your petrol can and walk back again. And everybody knows what you've done because you've got a big green bucket in your hand. And it is the walk of shame. So lesson in the morning, don't be like me. By the grace of God, we made it with the skin of our teeth here in Clare to the welcome at 10:30 a.m. But you know what? There's something illuminating to show me what needs to be done. It's up to me whether I do it. I'll face the consequences if I don't pay attention to the warning light. But the word is illuminating. That's the first lesson for us this morning. That as we raise our children, as we raise those around us, and we disciple one another, we look to the word of God to illuminate our path. They opened it together and they learned from it as a community. And so when you and I, we're not just doing church on a Sunday morning, we're not just doing small groups together, but the word is something that is shedding light on the way that we live. It is a beacon in many ways, a backdrop to how we need to live, to where our hearts need to be. And the law provided a very specific set of directions for God's people. But what they really did was highlight their need for God. When you look at the laws of the Bible, and if you want to read that in your own time, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, there's some hard laws in there. There's some moral laws, there's some ceremonial laws, and there's some cultural laws for their time as well as our time. And so interpreting them can be tricky for us, but what you realize is they're hard to keep. It's hard to do the right thing sometimes, isn't it? Hard to live by a moral code, hard to live by the Ten Commandments. But what they did was they highlighted our need for God. And as we think about the children we've dedicated this morning, one thing we're doing as a community is highlighting your need for God. You cannot do this on your own. You need his word to guide you. The second thing is they find joy, and that joy is invigorating. How many of you know that sometimes you need to find a deep joy in dark moments? When things are tough, that's probably more important than ever. You need to find moments of significant joy. And Nehemiah 8, verse 9 to 10 says, "This is the day that is holy to the Lord. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping." And then Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those to who no one's prepared. This day is holy. Do not grieve." And there's times when you and I do need to grieve, but there's also times when you and I need to find a deep joy. A friend of mine decided to get married in Spain once. Sounds amazing. But getting over there, a little bit of a challenge, and it was a privilege. We got over to Seville in Spain, spectacular place. And I'd never been to a Spanish wedding before. Is anyone in here from Spain? No? Okay, does anyone know anyone who's Spanish? No, okay. This is going to land. Oh, no, there's two people in the back. Fantastic. I don't know if you've ever been to a Spanish wedding, but when we arrive 6 p.m. in time for the wedding. As good English folk do, we sit down, dressed, pressed, ready to go. And we're thinking, okay, the speeches have been done. The ceremony's been done. When's the food going to come out? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. It's going to be a bit of dancing. 8, 9, 10 p.m. Still no food. I'm from England. I'm getting hungry. 11 o'clock. More speeches. Nothing wrong with that. 12 p.m., tapas arrives. Hip, hip. Okay, that's the start of the wedding. 1 p.m., 2 p.m. is more dancing. 3 p.m., the bride and groom take to the floor. 4 p.m., I drop to my knees in tears because I do not stay up past 11 p.m. 4 p.m., we finished at 5 a.m. My word, the Spanish can party. And there's a moment where I'm tossed between tiredness and excitement. There's a special occasion that brings joy. And despite the fact that I can't go past 11 p.m., somehow this monumentous moment, this celebration, makes me find joy and makes me invigorated to push through to 4 a.m. Honestly, I dropped at 3 a.m. actually. But I could have pushed through to 4. But what carried me was the special moment that we were in. Because we're having a wedding, because we're having a party, because we're having a celebration, this joy is invigorating. And you can think of moments in your life, can't you, where there's people coming together for a specific reason and joy just comes a little bit easier. You've had that, right? We've seen moments across the history of our country as well. The 2012 Olympics, the nation was in a state of joy. We were winning gold medals left, right, and center. Royal wedding, depending on your appetite. Most of you will find maybe a bit of joy in the atmosphere. When England won the Euros in 2022 for the first time ever, there was joy and celebration. And maybe you've had a wedding, maybe you've had a party, a dedication like today. Isn't it a moment of joy? That's the right answer. It's a moment of joy. We come together as a church community for moments of celebration, and sometimes we forget how to celebrate. And we're going to have setbacks. Our kids are going to struggle. There's going to be difficult moments. And in those difficult moments, we need to find deep-seated joy, which we believe as Christians comes from the presence of God. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. And joy isn't necessarily feeling happy, although that can be a byproduct. There's something that God dwells within us, wells up within us, and it spills over. It's an immovable joy. It's not toxic positivity where we pretend there's no issues and there's no problems. It's that we find hope and life even in the middle of grief, loss, pain, and trials. And so you and I are called to be invigorated by joy when we open the word. And that's what Nehemiah did with the people. Yes, there's maybe reasons to mourn and grieve, but also can we find points of joy and celebration? We ought to be a joy for people. And the final lesson for us this morning is that they found covenant as a cause for celebration. The word was illuminating. It showed them the backdrop of their lives, the path, the direction they need to head in. Joy illuminates them and brings life. But at the center of this is this agreement to be committed to God and to follow God. And this is what it says in Nehemiah 8. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, this is a holy day, do not grieve." And then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. And you and I are on this continuous journey. If you've put your faith in Jesus, where we're wanting to understand the heart of God, we're wanting to understand the will of God, we're wanting to understand how he wants us to live and how he wants us to be. And what we find ourselves when we come to Jesus saying is, "I make an agreement that I am for you. You are for me. You live in me, Lord, and I want to commit my life to you." There's this covenant of relationship, this commitment between us and our Heavenly Father. And in that moment, it should also cause us to celebrate that actually, because we have this agreement with God, because we have this renewed covenant, that you and I get to share in the blessings of heaven. We get to share in the hope of a future. We get to share in the promises of God. And God quite literally pursues us so that we might find that level of relationship and presence with him. The covenant helped God's people to recognize their position in God's plan. Helps them recognize their position in God's blessing. It helps them recognize their position in life. And you and I, as we look to raise and model something for our children, as we look to model something for one another, we're pursuing Jesus out of an agreement, out of a covenant, out of a relationship that we want to be passed down from generation to generation. And so maybe our lesson this morning as a church community is to remind ourselves of our commitment to one another, to remind ourselves of our covenant with the Lord, to remind ourselves of how we impact each other's lives. And just as we've opened Nehemiah 8, ever so briefly this morning, those three lessons stay with us, that as a people recommitting their hearts to the Lord, re-emphasizing what matters, you and I need to keep that at the forefront of our lives. That Jesus is central to everything. That in him we live and move and have our being. That you and I have our hope, have grace, we have a mercy found in the presence of God. That you and I are restored to our Heavenly Father. And these are the things we want to pass on to our children. So as we dedicate them, we also want to dedicate our hearts this morning. Let us find ourselves in that continuous pursuit with Jesus. Amen. Hey, I'm going to invite the worship team. We're going to spend a little bit of time worshiping and celebrating together. But Lord, we submit our hearts before you in this place, recognizing that we are here because of our dedication to you, our commitment to you, and for all you are doing in our lives. We are so grateful. Let that be a cause of celebration this morning, and let it be something we pass on to our children. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen.